Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible.
And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with Jesus spends the night in prayer, as we pick up in Luke chapter 6, verse 12. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
Now it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray. Again, Luke's giving us the insight into the prayer life of Jesus. And he continued all night in prayer. You men that spend the all-night vigils here in the prayer room, you know who is there with you every night? The Lord. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there. He was used to praying all night. You're in good company. He spent the night in prayer. Why? Because the next day, he was going to be making some very important decisions. From those disciples that were following him, he was going to choose 12 to be called apostles. Jesus prayed before important decisions were to be made. I think that that is a tremendous example for us, and we would be very wise to follow it when we have important decisions to make, to spend some time in prayer seeking God's guidance in those decisions. So when the day came, he called unto him his disciples, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. And he gives us the name of the 12, Simon, who he also named Peter, Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called the Zealot, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, who also was the traitor. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. So now he is drawing people not only from the south, the area of Judah, and Jerusalem, but they're coming from the coastal northern areas of Tyre and Sidon to hear him and to be healed. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and he healed them all. It is interesting that this declaration, and of course here you're talking, a doctor is talking to you again, a physician, Luke, talking about virtue going out of Jesus, but it is interesting to me that this follows his night in prayer, that this power now, this dimension, virtue begins to go out of him, and people were coming up and touching him in order to be healed. And he lifted up his eyes, and now from here to the end of the chapter, we have an abbreviated version of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, 6, and 7, we have a longer version. There are some differences, enough that some teachers do not believe that this is actually the Sermon on the Mount, but just another sermon in which Jesus touched many of the points that he touched in the Sermon on the Mount. There is enough difference that does support that particular theory. So he lifted up his eyes on his disciples, and he said, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." You may be poor in this earth and on this earth's standards, but hey, you're blessed because the kingdom of God belongs to you. "Blessed are you that hunger now, you will be filled. Blessed are you that weep now, you shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, when they will separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake, for my sake." Jesus said, "Rejoice in that day and leap for joy." Now, I haven't seen any of you leaping for joy because someone was speaking against you at your job and got you in trouble, and they only did it because you were a Christian. I've counseled a lot of people with long faces. They've come in just discouraged, defeated, ready to quit because of the trials they were going through at the job because they were a Christian, you know. Oh, you can't believe the hassle I've gotten this week, you know, and my foreman, he's really upset and all these kind of stuff. And the Lord said, hey, when that happens, leap for joy. Rejoice. Why? Because your reward in heaven is great. For in the same manner did they treat the prophets. But woe unto you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, you will be hungry. Woe unto you that laugh now, you're going to mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men speak well of you, because this is how they treated the false prophets. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Do good to those that hate you. Bless those that curse you. Pray for those that despitefully use you. Now, suddenly Jesus is giving us a bunch of impossible commands. I'm ready to argue. Lord, how can I love my enemies? No way I can love my enemies. And I don't want to do good to those that hate me. And I don't want to bless those that curse me. You see, these are unnatural commands. They irritate me. I find myself arguing with them. I really do. I find myself arguing with these commands. Now, as long as I'm arguing with them, I'm going to always have a withered hand. I'm never going to change. I'll always be trying to get even. I'll always be after the eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth and seeking revenge and being eaten up by ulcers. But if I'll just will to obey, God, I'm willing to love, but you're going to have to do it. I can't do it. Well, if I'm willing, I will find that he will do all for me that is necessary for me to obey that command. My part is to be willing to obey, not to argue with it, but just be willing to obey. And in that willingness, you'll discover the secret of victory, and the Lord will give to you the capacity and the power to obey the commands that he has given. Now, he that will smite you on the one cheek, offer him the other. And if he takes away your cloak, don't forbid him to take your coat also. To every man that asks of thee, give. And to him who takes away your goods, don't ask for them again. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Now, so many of the teachers have put this in the negative. Don't do to anybody what you don't want done to you. It was a very common thing. Hillel, Confucius, and all of them had said something similar to this, but it was always negative. You know, whatever is distasteful you do to you and you don't want done to you, just don't do that to someone else. A good rule to follow. Jesus put it in a positive sense. Hey, not just a negative. Not just not hitting him because you don't want him to hit you. But he put it in a positive sense. Whatever you would like people to do you, do that to them. How would you like them to treat you when you've made a mistake? You want them to be kind and understanding and sympathetic. All right? That's the way you should be to them. When they've made a mistake, kind, sympathetic, and understanding. How you would like people to treat you, that's the way you are to treat them, Jesus said. And so he turns it from a negative to a positive. And so it leads us into actual positive actions rather than just refraining from negative things. For if you love those which love you, so what? Sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those which do good to you, so what? Sinners do the same thing. If you lend to those of whom you're hoping to receive a return, so what? Sinners also lend in order that they might get as much again. But love your enemies. Do good. Lend hoping for nothing again. that your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the Highest. For He is kind to everyone, the unthankful, the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Now again, we find ourselves arguing, don't we? But these are commands of the Lord. Rather than argue, let's choose and will to obey. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and hear the law of giving. Give. It's a principle, it's a spiritual law. We've learned to observe natural laws and live by them and profit from them. But we ought also to learn the spiritual laws, and this is a spiritual law. It works. You say, oh, I don't know how it can work. I don't either, but I know it does. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you mete it out, it will be measured to you again. Paul said, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. And whatever measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. So in the giving, the Lord will give back to you in whatever measure you give. However, He'll give back more, because He'll give out good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. And so He spake a parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall in the ditch? And the disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And why do you behold the mote, the sliver that is in your brother's eye, and you don't perceive the beam, the 4x6 that is in your own eye? And I'm sure Jesus said this with a smile. Because it gives you a good picture of some guy with a 4x6 in his eye trying to pull a sliver out of his neighbor's eye, you know. And so I'm sure that this was said in with a smile and all. But oh, how typical it is of us. Those who are so critical, ready to find fault with the next person. Ready to point out their flaws and their weaknesses, but oh, God help us. There is so much bad in the best of us and so much good in the worst of us that it ill behooves any of us to speak of the rest of us. You know, the Lord's saying, clean up your own act. How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take this sliver out of your eye, when you can't behold the 4x6 that is in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the beam out of your own eye, and then you'll be able to see clearly to pull the sliver that is in your brother's eye. For a good tree does not bring forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs. You don't go out and gather figs off of cactus. Nor from a bramble bush do you gather, from a tumbling weed, you don't gather grapes. Everything brings forth after its kind. And thus a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. And all you have to do is stand around and listen to a person's conversation, and it doesn't take long to reveal where their heart is. Out of the abundance of the heart, a man speaks. It comes out. And you know, standing around listening to some people is like standing near an open cesspool. You know what's in their heart. It stinks. And then Jesus asked a very interesting question, one that we should all be asking ourselves tonight. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not the things which I say? You see, the title Lord implies mastery. It implies servant. I'm the servant. He's the Lord. In our culture, we don't understand what it was to be a slave. To not be able to own anything, to be the total property of another person. to be required to obey implicitly without question anything that was demanded of you. We independent Americans can't even conceive of this. And so we find it easy to say, oh, Lord, you know. And yet, how inconsistent it is if you call Jesus Lord and yet you don't obey. Now, he's just given you a lot of things here to consider as far as obedience is concerned. Now, James says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. As we read what Jesus is ideally requiring of us and commanding us to do and to be, and then we say, oh, Lord, I don't think I can do that. Oh, Lord, there's no way I can do that. And then he responds, well, why do you call me Lord unless you're going to do the things I command you? You see, if you're not obeying what I am commanding, then I'm really not your Lord. It's exactly what he's saying to you. And so this really does create a cause for great self-examination. Paul the Apostle tells us when we come to the Lord's table, let a man examine himself, for if we will judge ourselves, we will not be judged of God. And I think that so often we're just prone to slough off some of the commands of Christ that we don't quite agree with or we don't want to go along with, and we pick and choose. Oh, I like this one. Oh, this is my favorite. Oh, yeah, you know.
Well, I don't know about that one. I sort of think that, you know, people interpret things different ways, and I have a different interpretation, you know.
But if I'm going to use the title of Lord, then I need to take a look at his commands and at least will to obey them. Not argue with them, but choose to obey them. Now, whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I'll show you what he's like. He's like a man which built a house, and he dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house, it could not shake it because it was founded on a rock. The importance of digging deep and laying a good foundation for your faith in Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Too many shallow foundations. Too many people just building a superstructure without a foundation. Building on emotions. Building on experiences. Building on exciting times. Building on the glory, glory, hallelujahs. But when the storm comes, if you haven't laid a good foundation on the rock, the house just isn't going to stand. He that hears and does not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now, both cases were subjected to the test of the storm. The Lord does not promise you immunity from problems, from trials, from hardship. It's going to come to every man alike. Through life, there are going to be difficult things that we're going to have to face that we cannot understand or rationalize. As we try to think of a good, loving, just God and try to rationalize our current situation on the basis of a loving, kind Heavenly Father. The storm is going to come. It'll beat vehemently. And if you haven't taken the time to lay a good foundation, you're going to find the whole system collapsing around you, and you'll be swept away. How important we dig deep, that we obey, that we do the things that Jesus commanded. We practice doing them rather than just arguing with him, telling him why we can't do them, and excusing our blights. He doesn't want you to excuse your condition. He wants you to change from your condition. You say, I can't do that. That's exactly right. He knows that. But do it anyhow. For when you will to obey, all that you need to obey will be given to you in that time. God, make us willing.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Luke on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Luke 6 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
Father, we thank you again for the study of your Word. Lord, we do want to be doers of your word. As we go back and we again muse on the commandments, and we find those that do irritate us, those that grate on us, oh God, may we just truly bow our hearts in submission and say, Lord, I can't, but I'm willing. And may we, Lord, receive that ability and capacity from you to be and to do all that you want us to be and to do. Help us, Lord. We need your help. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless you, keep you, fill you with his love, his spirit, his strength, his power. May the Lord enable you as you go forth to do his will, obeying his commandments in Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Lord, I believe in you. I'll always believe in you.
It is by faith that you've been walking into one level of spiritual maturity to another. Faith is the key to a successful Christian life. And that is why the Word of God tells us, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It was faith that led Abraham into the land of promise. It was faith that led the children of Israel through the Red Sea. It was faith that enabled Peter to step out of the boat and to walk on water. The question is, what might faith do in you?
To order a copy of Pastor Chuck's book, Faith, or to preview a chapter for free online, visit thewordfortoday.org. Or call 800-272-9673.